Yes, I see a few hands. I feel the story of the runaway horse is a Zen Buddhist koan. What is a koan? A koan is a paradoxical tale designed to short circuit our logical reasoning. Often used as a meditation object, koans force the mind to step outside binary judgment. Binaries means either or, right? To get us out of this either-or mindset and rest ourselves in ambiguity, opening up a direct intuitive experience of reality. The tale we just heard serves as a koan because it invites us to drop the mind's habitual judgments and confronts the unknown with equanimity, meaning to remain calm, even-minded, and composed under pressure or during difficult situations. Funny enough, many of the parables told by Jesus serve a similar purpose: to unsettle our logical reasoning and opening our minds. And more importantly, not just our mind, but opening our hearts to the wisdom of God's kingdom of peace with justice. Following the parable of the sower in last week's gospel reading, Matthew the evangelist continues with another agrarian parable that listeners could easily relate to. I guess if Jesus were telling a parable to contemporary years here in the Fraser Valley today, it would perhaps be one about the drought and the lack of water for growing instead of uncontrollable weeds. But who knows? I don't know how this advice sounds like to you, many of which are gardeners. I, who is not a great gardener, a beginning gardener, usually just pull up all the weeds in my garden beds when I see them so that they don't compete with and pulling nutrients from the soils for the plants that I'm trying to grow, right? So my first impressions of Jesus' parable, I find it actually somewhat reassuring that there are weeds trouble in God's kingdom. For one, the kingdom of God is not like a Club Med inclusive resource where everything looks pristine and you can forget your messy life at home and escape to a paradise. That is not God's kingdom. Sorry, did you get the wrong note? That is not God's kingdom. God's kingdom is here and now, and it is not a place to escape to, but like a piece of farmland, it is a place to cultivate for a future harvest. We may not even see the harvest. We cultivate for a future harvest. There's a problem though. What was the problem, or what is the problem? Weeds. These weeds, thistles, dandelions, knotweeds, English ivies, Himalayan blackberries, you name it. They showed up uninvited and simply took over. They make you feel like the garden is under attack. And for people whose gardens are their life, they must be feeling that their lives come under attack. Take a moment and wonder what uninvited challenges in your own lives or in the lives of this community these weeds remind you of today. What are the weeds in your own life? Are they water restrictions, children's problem, relational strain, critical illness, income or housing insecurity? In Matthew's gospel, Jesus went on interpreting what the various elements of the parable represent. He used a rather polemic, dualistic lens, telling his disciples that the good seeds are the children of the kingdom, and the weeds are the children of the evil one. But I wonder if this interpretation has more to do with the historical context of the community Matthew the evangelist was writing to than what Jesus actually said or meant. From what we know now, Matthew was writing to a Jewish Christian community in the diaspora that was after 40 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. There was a Jewish revolt, and the colonial Roman force came down with an iron fist. They murdered a lot of people. They destroyed the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the Jewish culture scattered and moved northward. It was in that setting that within Judaism, there is also a renewal movement, a rabbinic movement is starting at the same times when the way, the early days, the Christians call themselves the way, when this competing teaching of Jesus is also spreading. And as a result of that context, early Jewish Christians were being tossed out of synagogues. In those days, Jewish Christians continued to attend synagogues, right? But because of these two competing spiritual traditions, Christians are being tossed out of synagogues. Matthew was addressing the reality that the early disciples was facing. And that it may make sense to the audience at that time that this good and bad, so that to give a sense of reality to the communities Matthew was writing to. It's very interesting that a parallel strand of this parable survives, and it was recorded in a saying traditions called the Gospel of Thomas. Credibly, an earlier form of Jesus' parable written before the destruction of the temple, so before this memory is recorded by Matthew in his gospel. In the Gospel of Thomas, the logian or the saying, the 57th saying, Jesus shared the same story but offers no commentary to the parable and simply leave listeners to ponder the meaning and the applications to their own lives in the same way the traditional Jewish wisdom traditions would do. So in this logion, the farmer is portrayed as a master of wisdom who knows how to treat unwanted produce in the fields of life existence. The harvest time represents the eschaton, the Greek word from which the word eschatology or end times comes, which refers to a concept of a time as historical process when all things important will be sorted out. So end times simply represent a concept that There is a time when things will ultimately get sorted out. And in the Gospel of Thomas, spiritual commentary by Lynn Bowman, the eschaton is the place of definitive discernment and ultimate decisions. Definitive discernment and ultimate decisions. He went on saying, we judge the outcome in the middle of time. God discerns the outcome at the end of time. So we have a tendency of judging outcome in the middle of time. And this parable illustrates a God that takes time to judge the outcome. This is a difference in perspective that determines whether or not we will seek to control the results now by disturbing the process in the middle rather than waiting till the end. God's understanding spans the whole history of human time and see from that perspective. So for all of us who are part of a society where instant results and immediate gratifications are so valued, this parable can be an invitation to wait and see every week's situations from the perspective of Jesus, the Master of Wisdom. It is not unlike the farmer in the Zen Buddhist koan to take a stance of maybe or perhaps. But you may rightfully say, waiting and suspending judgment is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, there is the danger of judging too quickly and seeing the other as the enemy too immaturely. On the other hand, there is also the danger of inaction. This parable can be hard to bear when inaction results in immediate personal suffering and losses of those you loved. And for people whose lives are in the margin, the cost of withholding judgment and delaying actions sometimes may be too much to bear. So what can we learn from this parable? To me, Jesus' parable of good seeds and weeds introduces the viable spiritual option of waiting, of letting things be when we are faced with perceived evil in our life or in our common life as citizens of God's kingdom. The key is discerning when to act and when to wait. Discernment. So I will leave you with a few practical wisdom pointers that I distilled from this parable. Number one, know our good seeds and our weeds. What are the good seeds in your life and what are the weeds? Can you really distinguish between the two? Or were there at times we are mixing up good seeds as weeds or vice versa? Number two, discern what time it is. Is it time for planting? Or is it time for reaping? Honor the time you are in. Number three, be in touch with and resist your addiction to instant result and immediate gratification. Those are what we need to resist to understand the wisdom of God. Number four, acknowledge the limits of your own perception. There are times that as best as we try, there are limits of our own perception. Seek and pray for seeing from the perspective of the one who is the master of time. Number five, pay attention to the directions where the arc of justice is pointing towards. It's important to discern and examine situations based from a justice perspective. This may be a guide. Who is being affected? What does the justice of God, which direction is it pointing at? And when all of the above is said and done, let it be only when you receive the invitations to wait until harvest time. Not simple is an invitation to wait, discern, pray with God. And as a spiritual community here we call St. Dunstan, we support each other in our discernments, especially in situations that is not black and white. We support each other not to rush into these decisions in a binary, dualistic way, and learn from our Master Jesus, wait, discern, and act. May that be true. Amen.